break from the book of Romans. And this morning we're going to review again, we've done this a number of times, the motto of North Oaks Church. I think there's a number of people that have never heard us talk about that. Why does a church even need a motto or a mission or a vision statement? Maybe if you're cynical like me, you know, sometimes you can get cynical in church. Does anybody ever do that? I do. Aren't these just clever statements that just more or less say the same thing that you spend a whole lot of time and energy formulating, and then you just end up hanging them on the office wall and they end up on a few leaders' coffee mugs? That sounds pretty cynical, doesn't it? That's often what becomes of them. Probably happens at some of the companies you work for. They spend a lot of time with these wonderful advertising slogans. You see them on TV if you're a big company, or on the radio, on the signs. And then they don't really affect what you do. So I looked up the definition of a motto, and I added one word. A brief statement used to express a guiding principle, goal, or ideal. That sounds pretty good. We have these statements because we are easily distracted. And I don't know about you. Well, I do, because you're just like me. I am so easily distracted. Squirrel. I mean, that's me. If you know me very much, I am very easily distracted. And I'm distracted from what I'm supposed to be doing, especially the big picture. And when it comes to my job, what the local church is to be about. It's easy to lose the view of purpose. I remember, and most of you know, I was in the family furniture business for a number of years. And I remember one time I was in big trouble. I was in Florida. I was managing one of our branches in Florida, and I caught myself saying one day, I can't get all my work done because all these customers keep coming in the front door. I knew I was in big trouble. I caught myself going, man, I have got a problem. I forgot our motto. And our motto was furniture for Florida living. So furniture needed to get out there into people's homes and condos and businesses so they could live the Florida lifestyle. So the furniture that was on the showroom floor in our store and in our warehouse needed to get out the door on the truck into their home or apartment or condo so that they could live like Florida. And I was so busy, so distracted. Customers coming in the front door to do that, I became clueless. It's been said that Vince Lombardi, the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, began training camp every year by saying, men, this is a football. And he would start right there. And these are pro athletes, and that's where he would start. Then he would talk about, our job is to get this football across that goal line, and then you'd go through all the stuff. Then you'd keep that football from crossing the one that's behind you and start there to outline what their purpose was in being a football team. One of our mottos, kind of our unofficial mottos, we have a number of them. Of course, all Scripture is our motto. We're getting to a lot of Scripture today, by the way. But one of our mottos is a theological motto, which is all about what we believe about the gospel. We didn't officially approve it as an elder board or a church congregation. It's one of those that's been handed down to us over the generations, and it's become a part of who we are, and it's called the five solas of the Reformation. And I put it into a sentence so that you'll understand why it's a motto. A brief statement used to express a guiding principle, goal, or ideal. And it goes like this. We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, from the Scriptures alone, for God's glory alone. Boy, that's one fantastic motto, isn't it? That's a theological motto. That's a good motto that should be a part of every Christian church, in my opinion. We also have an official motto. And many, if not the majority, could probably say it and get it mostly right. It's one that we have used to help keep us on track over the years concerning our purpose and our mission. In fact, we can look at it and evaluate everything we do as a church and determine whether we're on track or whether we're straying off target about what we're supposed to be doing. And we do it by considering the four aspects of our motto. And it tells us why we exist as North Oaks Church. And this morning I present it to you as a helpful reminder. Because in church, in doing church, it is so easy to become distracted. The motto of North Oaks Church: we are planted for purpose, rooted in praise, growing in grace, and spreading the seeds. It's all got the tree motif, doesn't it? So we're going to look at each four of these briefly this morning. Number one, we're planted for purpose. And our purpose in all that we do is to glorify God. And we've got a number of scriptures I wanted to look at to remind us that. It's the scripture that guides us. The motto just points us to the scripture if we take the time to consider that. And the first one is Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah writes this: "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So what Isaiah is saying about God, a very important aspect of how God operates, so much of how God operates is a mystery to us. But this we can know from this passage. By looking at the rain and looking at the snow, looking at these 3 inches of rain that we got this week, how it falls from heaven and then suddenly the grass gets greener, right? And the buds on the trees start going, and they put out a pollen alert this morning. And the rain was caused all that to happen, the rain and the sunshine. What God intends with his word, which comes out of his mouth, is that it makes things grow and he produces a crop, and it has a main goal. The very end game of God's word coming to this planet is his glory. Everything else is along the timeline to the ultimate purpose of God, of why he did all this, is so that he might receive glory. That's the end game of it all. How easy it is to forget that. So write down Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, and refer back to that. So there's some really good news from that passage. God's word will go out and it will not return unto him void. It will produce what he intends. It will not return to him empty, but it will accomplish that which he purposes, and it shall succeed in the thing for which he sent it. So that is comforting to know that the end game will surely come to pass. And we're going to look at a scripture in just a minute that describes it in just a tremendous fashion. Another passage is Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this: "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan," listen to this, "what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things." It's an amazing statement. "So that through the church," through us, "the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him." There's that purpose of God again, from eternity past, looking forward to the end game, and it's going to come, and we have a part to play in it. The purpose of God, his glory. It seems far off, doesn't it? It seems unobtainable for us to get our grasp around that. It's very esoteric and mysterious, God's glory. It's the kind of things that are reserved just for people like Moses and Isaiah and Paul. But Paul's saying, this happens through the church. It's people just like us. And then this wonderful statement from the prophet Habakkuk. And he puts his finger on the end game. "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." There was a really bad movie a number of years ago. Maybe some of you suffered through it like I did. It was called Waterworld. Anybody suffer through Waterworld with Kevin Costner? There were great hopes for the movie, because it had Kevin Costner and had a huge big budget, and it was kind of a sci-fi. I don't know what to call it. The movie was bad. But some cataclysmic event had happened and water covered the whole earth. And they had this really cool boat with sails in it, and they were sailing all around. I don't know. It was a terrible movie. But the water covered the whole earth. That's what the knowledge of the glory of God is going to be like someday. It's going to cover all of this as the waters cover the seas. It's going to be deep. It's going to be mysterious. We've all stood on the seashore. Many of us have flown over it, and you look at it and you just go, wow. It's overwhelming. That's what it's going to be like. See, God has a purpose in what he's doing. He sent his word to accomplish it. It has an eternal purpose which is realized in Christ and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. And through this plan, this mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, God's glory will ultimately fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And our church, North Oaks Church in Clarkston, Michigan, must be aligned with that purpose. in everything that we do. North Oaks must be aligned with and for the glory of God, not the glory of the pastor, not the glory of the members, not the glory of the elders, not the glory of the praise team, not the glory of any individual, the glory of God. We are here for that purpose. If we miss that purpose, we are twiddling our thumbs and whistling in the wind. You ever tried whistling in the wind? Doesn't work. The Westminster Shorter Catechism begins with that. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end simply means his primary purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's point one. We are planted for purpose. The second one is we're rooted in praise. So imagine a tree. We're planted for purpose. And as the roots begin to grow and they get out into the soil and they receive the water coming down through the soil, we are rooted in praise. We're called to worship God. So we got Psalm 95. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And then Psalm 111:1, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright and the congregation. Well, there's a lot there, but I want you to notice one thing. I simply call it the plurals of worship. Being alone with your piano or your guitar or your voice or your words and your Bible, wonderful. I hope you're doing that. But there's something about the plurals of worship here that we're doing this morning. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Maker, our God. We are the people, the sheep of His pasture. In the congregation, He's speaking of congregational gathered worship. And you can't do that on YouTube. You do that when you need to. But you come and you gather and you worship together corporately. John 4:23-24, and we're going to come back to this later on in one of the other points. Jesus is at the well in Samaria, conversing with the woman at the well who is a sinner, like us. And He says something about worship. You want to study worship? Read John chapter 4. And He says, but the hour is coming and now and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus showed us what this looked like when He found a new worshiper, the sinful woman at the well in Samaria. He put on full display the God who justifies the ungodly, as we saw last week in Romans 4. I believe it was verse 5. God is looking for worshipers. People who will kneel and give thanks before God their Maker in the midst of the congregation. At North Oaks, worship, being rooted in praise, is a priority. We don't come here to watch what goes on the platform here. Although we do see it with our eyes, we are not at a concert. They lead us. And God has gifted us with worship leaders. They lead us in worshiping God. And although we are the audience of God, we come to watch and view His being, His attributes from Scripture and what we learn. But He's also, in one sense, the audience of us. He's looking to see if we're worshiping in spirit and truth. We come to participate. We're rooted in praise. It's a part of what the Christian church is. Number three, growing in grace simply means being disciples, making discipleship a key aspect of what our community is all about. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." A disciple just simply means a disciplined follower of Christ that's doing the things Jesus required of them to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of the glory of God. Growing in grace involves growing in the knowledge of the truth, which involves growing in the knowledge of God's Word. We do that by reading the Bible and learning the Bible. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, part of that theological motto. We do it in small group Bible studies, family Bible studies, Monday night discipleship I've been doing for years, Sunday school, Brian Crump leads a Sunday school class, CBS on Thursday nights, all of these parts of discipleship that go on here at North Oaks. Next Sunday, I'm going to be doing one more sermon before we get back to Romans. And it's going to be called, although it's Paul talking to Timothy as the pastor in Ephesus, there's application for all of us. It's called Study to Show Yourself Approved. And what that means for us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Romans 12, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Here's the connecting of worship with discipleship. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." See, all these four parts of our motto are all intricately connected. Growing in grace involves transformation and the renewing of the mind. And that happens by God's Word. Because, see, God's Word comes and accomplishes His purpose so that the knowledge of the glory of God will one day cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, Habakkuk 2:14. It involves transformation and the renewing of the mind. It's also something that we strive to pass on to others. 2 Timothy 2:1-2. Paul writes to Timothy, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others." From one group to another, to another, to another. And then the fourth one, spreading the seeds. That's simply the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commission was the last command or the commission that Jesus gave before his feet lifted off the earth and he ascended to heaven. Wouldn't it be amazing to hear, and I think we'll be able to do that, hear the apostles describe what that was like and when they were there, and then Jesus just lifted off the ground in front of them and then was covered by the clouds and went to heaven. Well, right before that happened, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Three elders and myself went to a seminar down in Indianapolis this last week. Went down a little early and got to see the eclipse. We were in the zone of totality. So the heavens declared the glory of God. So it was fun. But we were reminded that the go in Matthew, and we don't normally do much Greek, but there's called a middle voice when they describe this verb go, and it basically means as you are going. It doesn't always mean pick up, sell your home and all your goods and move to a foreign country. It can do that if that's what God has called you to do, but it means as you are going around your daily activities, make disciples of all nations. And you can do that right here without going to Kazakhstan or Cambodia or Armenia, as some people are doing. Most of us have a call right here in Oakland County. Matthew 22 has what's called the Great Commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we're to love God and we're to love our neighbor. It's spreading the seeds. You know, they'll know you're a Christian by your love. Not necessarily by your theology. They'll know you're a Christian by your love for each other and for them. I want to finish up by going back and looking once again at Jesus' interaction with the woman at the well in Samaria in John chapter 4. What this provides, this passage, is the merger of mission and worship. See, in order to have worshipers, Jesus had to go and find them. In order for the woman at the well to become a worshiper of God, Jesus had to go to that well, find her, interact with her, and share the good news with her. As we read in John 4:23, Jesus said, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." And this woman was convicted in her heart. She was a great sinner, as we are and were and are. And he had mercy on her. She got so excited. She went back to the village and told everybody about this man and began sharing the good news. John Piper has a wonderful little phrase that he got from this passage. Missions exist because worship doesn't. He went to the well at Samaria because there was no worship there. And when he went, worship was established in the heart of that woman who now was worshiping in spirit and truth. because Jesus was on mission. The Father is seeking such people, that's mission, to worship Him, that's worship. Learning how to do both in a deeper, more consistent fashion is discipleship. And that's all for the glory of God. Thus you have the motto of North Oaks Church to help keep us on target. Planted for purpose, God's glory. Rooted in praise, that's worship. Growing in grace, that's discipleship. And spreading the seeds, that's mission. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are so easily distracted. Would you forgive us for that? If a motto like this can help us, would you use it, but especially with the Word of God that we've read this morning and the scriptures, many scriptures that you've probably brought to people's minds this morning, to call us as a church to be about the Lord's business. Would you renew and transform our thinking so that we may be about this in a newer and a greater way than we have before? Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness and your patience. Thank you for your glory. We look forward to the day, whether we are here on earth or whether we are we are in heaven, observing it from there. But we look forward to the day when the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. For we pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people said,